asked for a dream or two by Karasima. Part 1 of the Wish Universe. A Hockey RPF Zach Hyman / William Nylander story, read by Momo.
A dream is a wish your heart makes when you're fast asleep. In dreams you will lose your heartache, whatever you wish for you keep.
Wish magic is as old as time, or so they are taught in school. Zach remembers being a kid, listening in wonder as a teacher explained that while wishes are miraculous and can change the course of a person's life, every wish comes with a warning, a set of rules that prevent wishers from causing damage to themselves and others. For every wish has an opposite effect, an unwanted, unpredictable byproduct of the wish. Wishes can only be granted at key moments in a person's life. Parents can bestow one wish on their child at their birth, a wish for their future. Zach's parents had wished intelligence in all their boys, and each of them had received their wish to varying degrees, for no two wishes are ever fulfilled the same. Everyone gets a wish when they reach adulthood, according to their culture or the law of their land. And hockey players are granted a wish when they sign their first professional contract. There are rules about NHL wishes. The wisher cannot, first, wish for more wishes. Second, wish harm unto others. Third, wish for a cup. Fourth, wish for any awards, actually. And, as with all wishes, the wish has to be personal to the wisher. No one can wish on behalf of another person, no matter what. Anyone who tries loses their wish forever. There are stories of those who try to wish around the rules. Zach shudders when he hears them. When Zach finally signed his first contract, he wished to play with the best players in the world. Zach was smart, thanks to his parents. He knew his limitations as a player, but hockey teams are made up of all kinds of talents and skills. Zach wanted to play with the best. And now he plays with Marleau, Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. When he was younger, though, Zach used to wonder why all hockey players didn't wish for good health with the prevalence of career-ending injuries in the game. He still wonders sometimes when someone loses months of their playing career to a concussion or corrective surgery. Then again, Zach didn't wish for health himself, so he gets it. The price to pay might be too much. Wishes are kept secret, and it's considered rude to ask someone what they wished for. However, while no one ever talks about their wishes, it's obvious what some players have wished for. Gretzky wished to be the best player to ever play the game, but it came with a price, of course. His post-playing career has been hounded with failure one way or another, and that's the downside of wishes. It's why most people wish for something small, something achievable. But like Gretzky, there are those who go big and are willing to pay the price. Crosby wished to be a successful player, hoping to beat the Gretzky curse. But concussions will probably take Sid out of the game years before he's ready to retire. They've already taken so much time from his career. And for all his success on the ice, there are players who grudgingly admit that he's the best, but in the same breath point out that he's a cheat, too eager to fall down and too ready to complain to the referees. No one knows yet what McDavid or Mats asked for, but Zach supposes it will become clear eventually. It always does with the greats. Zach's played with a lot of guys in the league by the time he signs with the Leafs, makes his own wish, and gets to play his first season in the NHL. Some of the players' personal and professional wishes are whispered about across the league, fodder for gossiping locker rooms and beat reporters alike. Mitch, the rumor mill suggests, wished to be a Leaf when he reached adulthood. Zach wouldn't be surprised if Larks made the same wish about the Red Wings. It's common knowledge that Willie wished for his good looks, and Oshie wished to be the best shootout player in the modern game. Ben wished to prove everyone who doubted him wrong. Ovechkin wished for glory. Taves wished for a legacy, and the Sedins wished to play together for their entire NHL careers. Or so the stories go. No one ever asks. Wish magic is special and private. Wishes aren't for public consumption. Wishes are secret. So when the article appears on Deadspin, outing Freddy's wish, no one knows what the fuck to say in the locker room as they arrive from morning skate. Zack had read the article in disbelief, feeling violated himself as he scanned the words and felt a little sick. He can't imagine his wish being out there in the world, written somewhere anyone can find it. A quick glance around the room tells Zack two things. Firstly, that everyone's read it, or at least knows about it. And secondly, no one can look at Freddy. Everyone's keeping their gaze firmly fixed on their own stall as he addressed in almost silence. Zack can't even blame his teammates. He doesn't know what the fuck he'd say to Freddy either. Freddy's wish is right there on the internet for everyone and anyone to read. It's intrusive and horrifying to think that someone would print it so boldly, so unapologetically. It's offensive. It's one of the worst things Zack could imagine happening to him. And yet Freddy is here, shouldering the fallout, getting ready to play even though everyone knows something so personal about him. They know his innermost secret. He's a fucking rock, Zack thinks, his heart clenching as he notes the tightness around Freddy's eyes or the way he flinches whenever anyone moves a little too close to him. Eventually, thankfully, the locker room slowly empties as the team heads to the ice. Zack's been dawdling, too much worrying about Freddy, and suddenly it's just him, Mats, and Freddy left. Zack hauls himself up and hurries out the door as quickly as he can manage on his skates. He tries not to notice Mats dropping his hand onto Freddy's shoulder, their heads bent together as Mats says something too quietly for Zack to hear. Anyway, it's personal. At least it is until practice comes to an end and Mitch invites the media over. Halfway through his answer on how the team manages to deal with outside pressure, he drops a bombshell, spoken so mildly and casually that no one seems to grasp what they've just heard. Wait, Christine says in the ensuing silence that surrounds them. Your parents wished for you to be happy? Mitch laughs and scrubs his hand through his hair, clearly a little embarrassed. Yeah, he says easily, like revealing one of your wishes is an everyday occurrence. They're probably wondering right now why they didn't wish for intelligence or whatever, but I'm, you know, pretty happy about it. Christine seems to be the only one who appreciates the joke. You seem pretty open about your wish, she says carefully, watching Mitch to see if she oversteps his boundaries, wherever the fuck they're drawn right now. This is uncharted territory, and Zack, like the rest of the team, is watching as avidly as the rest of the media in the room. This is history being made, or whatever. It's an unusual move to talk about it so readily. Mitch shrugs, and no one misses the quick glance he shoots to Freddy, who stares back, stony-faced, the tension in his broad shoulders clear for them all to see. We're a team, he says firmly, and he turns just a little so it looks like he's speaking directly to Freddy, even though he's looking at Christine when he talks. Someone took that away from one of us today, and that sucks, you know? But we're a team. Now you can write about both of us. My man Freddy hates being the center of attention, you know? Me? I don't mind so much. Everyone's just kind of frozen in a weird tableau as Mitch puts his hands behind his back and almost dares someone to ask him another question. A movement to Zack's right makes him look over, and it's Freddy, carefully placing his mask down in his stall. I wish to do something memorable, Freddy says in his quiet way, turning to face the room. He doesn't have to raise his voice for everyone to hear him. They all know what he wished for already, of course, but Freddy looks at Mitch and he smiles, just a little. A quirk of the lips, like he's finding something about this whole situation funny. Now you can directly quote me when you write about it. One of the Leafs PR people jumps in and ends the questions, a frantic look of panic on her face as the locker room slowly empties until it's just the players and the staff. Mitch is still looking defiant, like he's waiting to get pulled out and ripped a new one for his answers, but it's anticlimactic. Babs tells him to get their rest before the game and reminds guards that he needs to see the trainers about his calf injury, and that's it. Fucking hell. Matt swears softly next to him, and Zack couldn't agree more. He lifts his hand, nudges it against Austin's in agreement. Fucking hell. Have faith in your dreams. It kind of opens the floodgates for the team after Mitch's confession. When they're at the bar that night, post-win and a few drinks in, Mo tells them that his wish was to make it to the show. Then Paddy confesses next, his eyes bright with humor, that he wished for gold. "I've got 2 gold medals at home," he says, rolling his eyes at himself. "That's what I wished for at 18 when I was young and stupid." His smile turns soft, though, as he taps his hand against the beer bottle he's holding, his gold wedding band making a small clink with each tap. "Wishes never really turn out the way you think they will, though, boys. Take it from an old man." The boys spend the rest of the night chirping Paddy, but his words stay with Zack as they head back to the hotel. He's actually glad they're in San Jose, since it makes it easier to avoid whatever the fallout of today has been. Most of the guys have been avoiding social media all day, but Zack's seen Mats and Willie glued to their phones at times, so he supposes they know whatever's being said. Zack's not sure he wants to know. "Come to our room?" Mitch murmurs as they walk into the lobby. He looks fine, considering, but Zack nods anyway, his protective instincts kicking in. He sees Mats whispering to Willie, so he's not surprised when it ends up being the four of them, Mats and Mitchie on their own beds, Willie curled up by Mitch's feet and Zack taking the chair. "Today has been a shit show," Mitch says and exhales loudly. He shakes his head and looks at Austin. "How's Fred?"
"Feeling pretty shitty," Mats says, "and wondering who told his secret."
He throws a pillow at Mitch, who catches it with a grin and pops it behind his head.
"Thinks you're the fucking best thing since hockey, though."
"You're so jealous," Mitch says, his eyes wide in delight. "Don't hate a player, bro."
"That doesn't even make sense," Austin says flatly. "And I'm not jealous."
"You so are," Mitch crows. "I'm Freddy's favorite now, and you're a giant ball of seething jealousy." Zack catches Willie's eye roll, and he grins because this feels normal, finally, after the day they've had. "Guys, you can argue about who Freddy loves more later, but he's alright, yeah?" Mitch and Austin sober up almost immediately.
"He's dealing," Austin says, glancing at Mitch. "What about you, Mitchie?"
"I'm good," Mitch tells them, his mouth twisted into some semblance of a smile. "My mom's pretty upset, though."
Zack winces. His parents would probably hit the roof if his wishes became public.
"It was pretty cool of Mo and Paddy to tell us their wishes," Willie says. He's leaning forward, his elbows on his knees, and of the four of them, he looks the most at ease. Zack envies it a little, wonders if it has anything to do with his wish being common knowledge already. Looking at Willie, he makes a decision.
Zack clears his throat and tips his head back to stare at the ceiling. "When I turned 18, I wished for personal and professional fulfillment."
There's a beat of silence.
"For hockey, right?"
Mitch asks slowly. Zack's lips twitch and he lowers his head.
"No,"
he says simply and watches his teammate's eyes widen in surprise.
"I figured hard work would either pay off for hockey or it wouldn't. I just wanted to do something I loved, you know? And I loved hockey, but I would have been okay if I never made it, if I had something else that I loved just as much."
Austin looks confused, like he can't imagine anyone being happy if they're not playing in the NHL. It's endearing. "Your books," Willie says. "The publishing deal. That's your wish." Zack sends him a pleased smile.
"I guess," he says. "I don't know whether the wish worked for hockey or publishing my books, but either way it came true."
"Thanks for telling us, bro," Mitch says seriously. "Welcome to the club." Zack wants to grin at him, but he can see Austin behind him, looking conflicted.
"Hey," Zack says to him, "you don't have to tell anyone what you wished for, Mats. It's a big fucking deal."
Willie dives over onto Austin's bed and tackle hugs him.
"We can keep our secrets, hey bro?" Austin rolls his eyes, one hand snaking around Willy to stop him from tumbling right off the bed.
Sure, bro, he says dryly.
They're just jealous they're not in our club, Mitch tells Zack in a half whisper. Zack finally gives in and grins. His secret is out there, and he feels a little weird and uncomfortable about it. But the way Mitch shifts over on his bed to make room for Zack to perch next to him, his arms slung around Zack's shoulders, makes Zack feel like maybe it's a good thing anyway. Like Mitch said, they're a team. There's no sudden outpouring of wish reveals from the rest of the league. Although Sagan tells the media that his mom wished for Tyler to never feel alone, Malkin jokes that perhaps he should have wished for a gift for languages instead of his actual wish, and Chara says that he wished to play hockey forever. No one's quite sure if he was being serious or not, and no one's been brave enough to ask yet. A dream is a wish your heart makes when you're feeling small, alone in the night. Is it like a Swedish thing? Zack asks. He's a little drunk. Maybe a lot drunk, actually. He squints at Willy, who's lounging against the bar, looking like a fucking model. Zack's definitely drunk. You all have a pact or something, right? You're all so pretty, Zack says. They just lost to the Blue Jackets at the ACC, and he's feeling a little loose. He might be slurring his words a little. It's totally Brownie's fault for that last round of shots. You and Wenberg and Carlson, Lundqvist, right? Landeskog? Ekman Larsson, Mitch interjects helpfully. Yes, Zack waves his hands around before one of them settles on Mitch's back. The other Carlson, Mitch adds. Oduya, Swedish, right? Burakovsky, Klevbom. Lindholm, Zack says with a sigh. All so beautiful. You wish for it, right? Willy stares at him for a long moment, and Zack feels the alcohol hit him all at once. He's got one hand still on Mitch, and he reaches for the bar to steady himself. Sure, Willy says flatly. That's what we do, all right. We turn 18 and ask to be beautiful. Zack nods, but his head feels heavy, and Mitch is shaking his head at him. What? Zack asks him. You're an idiot, and I'm taking you home, Mitch says. Okay, Zack says agreeably. He should probably leave before he says something dumb anyway. He's had way too much to drink, and he's got too many thoughts about attractive Swedish hockey players. Hey, Willy, I'll see you. Zack pauses, because Willy isn't where Zack left him. Frowning, Zack peers a little closer, but Willy's definitely not there. He left. Bro. Mitch says with a sigh and throws Zack's arm around his own shoulder to guide them towards the exit. You fucked up. Zack stumbles against him. Fuck, he curses and tries really hard to concentrate on not falling flat on his ass. You wake with the moon and sunlight, so far fortune that is smiling on you. Don't let your heart be filled with sorrow, for all you know tomorrow. Zack wakes up with a hangover and no memory of anything from last night after Brownie started handing out loser shots. They don't have a game until tomorrow, so he gives himself a maintenance day and spends it on his couch. It takes him a few days to realize that Willy's pissed at him. He's kind of annoyed with himself for how long it takes him to notice. After he's watched Willy walk out of the locker room again, without so much as a glance in his direction, Zack slumps back in his stall and sighs. What's up, bro? Mitch's stall is a few down from his, but he's looking at Zack with raised eyebrows and a vague look of concern, so Zack slides over towards him and tilts his head toward Willy's empty stall. I think Willy's avoiding me, he says in a low voice. No one else is paying any attention to them, but Zack doesn't want to take the risk of being overheard. not until he at least knows what's up with Willie.
No shit, Mitch says, which has Zack blinking at him in surprise.
Mitch frowns and shoves the rest of his stuff in his bag and stands up, grabbing Zack and tucking him out the door and practically marching him towards their cars.
Didn't you drive Austin in?
Zack asks, looking back over his shoulder.
He'll catch up,
Mitch dismisses. He looks around furtively and stops dead in the middle of the hallway and huffs.
You don't remember.
Remember what? Zack asks, confused.
San Jose? Mitch says. You basically called Willie shallow as fuck, dude. Not to mention every other beautiful suite in the league, but mostly Willie.
I did? Yeah? Mitch says slowly, and Zack can feel the judgment, thanks.
Wenberg and Carlson, remember?
And shit, Zack does. In his defense, well, they are, he mutters, shoving his hands in his pockets and wincing because he totally fucked up. Mitch just stares back at him, all 5'10" of him, judging Zack, and fuck.
I'm gonna apologize, Zack insists, because he hates the thought of Willie feeling shit because of Zack.
Willie should be like Mitch, and happy all the time.
Maybe after you've apologized, you should tell him that he's prettier than Winnie or Carlson.
Mitch says, smiling innocently when Zack throws him a sharp look.
What? He's not shallow, but he's as vain as Matt's. They need an ego boost now and again.
Oh, Austin says from behind them, making Mitch jump and look momentarily terrified. Zack starts laughing, and Mitch splutters a little before Austin slings his arm around Mitch's shoulders and guides him towards his car.
Let's hear it then. Give me an ego boost.
You're the prettiest Arizonian on the team, bud, Mitch says immediately, wrapping his own arm around Austin's waist. Like, by far, not even a contest, dude. Zack is still grinning at them when he climbs into his own car, but it quickly fades when he pulls out his phone and opens his message thread from Willie. There's been nothing for the last few days, and Zack feels shitty all over again. He starts the car and heads to Willie's place. A dream is a wish you make with your heart. When you can dream. Willie opens the door, which Zack's pretty grateful for, and lets his body relax against the doorframe, his arm still on the door and blocking Zack's entrance, which Zack is pretty sad about.
I don't think you're shallow, he says bluntly, because Willie needs to know that. For your wish.
Zack watches Willie stand up straight, his eyes narrowing on Zack's, and he gets the very real feeling that he's fucked up again.
Of course you still think I wished for good looks or to be beautiful or whatever. Willie mutters and he slams the door shut on Zack's face.
Zack's left blinking at Willie's front door in surprise.
But that's what everyone says you wished for, he murmurs to himself. Obviously everyone got it really, really wrong.
Zack spends the next few days trying to get Willie to talk to him, but all he gets is hockey talk in return, or absolute silence.
He still won't talk to me, he whines to Mitch one night. He's in Mitch and Austin's hotel room, but Austin's not there, so it's just the two of them. It's been 2 weeks, Mitchie.
Impressive, Mitchie says, shrugging when Zack shoots him a wounded look. What? It's Willie. He's like, genetically incapable of holding a grudge.
Well, he's not talking to me and it sucks, Zack grumbles, and I don't know how to fix it.
Mitch nudges his knee against Zack's.
It's kind of funny though, he says, and Zack sits upright, ready to disagree because this is definitely not funny when Mitch holds up a hand. Like, you wished for professional success or whatever, and you suck so bad at personal relationships.
What?
Zack's offended. I don't suck at personal relationships. What the hell, Mitchie?
Well, you've completely missed the whole point of why Willie's mad at you, Mitch says. He's not even mad, dum-dum. He's upset because you hurt him. He gives Zack a little shove. Go say sorry, bro. Zack gets to his feet and rubs his hand over his face. I really fucked up. Nah, Mitch offers him a wide grin. Willie's pretty forgiving. I think you've got a shot at redemption or whatever. I think he's in his room. Send Mads back, will ya? Zack nods and gives into the temptation to ruffle Mitchie's hair before he leaves. Mitch is grumbling, following him out the door. Willie's room is four doors down, and it's not enough time for Zack to gather his thoughts and work out what he wants to say, so he's relieved when it's Austin who answers the door. Thank fuck, Austin says. He disappears behind the door for a second and reappears with his phone in hand. You broke it, you fix it. Zack gives him a little shove as Austin moves past him. Mitch asked me to send you back. Austin flips him off and retreats into his room, leaving Zack staring at the open door to Willie's room. Hey? He pushes the door back and steps inside. Willie's lying on his bed, tapping away on his phone. He makes Zack wait for what feels like hours, although realistically, Zack knows it's probably only a minute or two. When he looks up, it's with mild disinterest, and Zack's chest hurts a little. Hey, Willie says coolly. Zack huffs out a long breath and tries a small smile. I'm sorry, he says, because he's almost certain he can't fuck up a simple apology. I don't think you're shallow, and I'm sorry I made an assumption about your wish. Willie sits up and he looks a little less frosty. He's even dropped his phone onto the bed, giving Zack his full attention. Don't worry about it, he says, and even Zack's not that clueless. Okay, you're still mad, Zack says, deflated. Willie shoves a hand into his hair and flips it back, distracted. I just thought... Look, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. Zack frowns. Hey, I'm gonna worry about it. You're my teammate. We're friends. You need to tell me when I fuck up. Woody kicks his foot out, connecting with Zack's thigh. Shut up, he says easily. Zack feels the tension seep out of him, his grin widening helplessly. You're practically perfect. Zack flushes and laughs, flustered. I'm not, he protests. Not even close. Sure, Woody says dryly and pats the bed next to him in invitation. Zack drops down, pressing a little closer than he usually would, but fuck, he's missed Willie. And it's not like Willie minds. As far as Zack knows, Willie doesn't understand the concept of personal space. So, like, my wish? Zack freezes for a moment before he puts his hand down on the bed behind Willie, close enough for him to lean into if he wants. Yeah? He nudges him softly. Willie darts a glance towards him. When I turned 18, I wished for love, he says. He looks calm while he's talking, but Zack's totally stunned. Of all the things he thought Willie might ask for, love is right at the bottom. Like, Willie's gonna fall in love. Zack knows it. Willie's entirely lovable. The whole team adores him, and when they go out, Willie's never short of attention from guys or girls. My mom and dad, they're like, unusual, you know? Willie looks a little embarrassed and a lot defiant. Lots of relationships don't last in hockey. Or they shouldn't, I guess. He adds, a little quieter. My parents are, like, more in love now than when we were kids. Like, embarrassing levels? That's what I want. I want to embarrass all my future kids with how in love I am with my partner. Zack ignores the slight hesitation, even though he knows he's going to obsess over it later. Right now, he's busy rearranging all his Willie-shaped thoughts and feelings and memories to fit his brand new, completely out-of-left-field information. Like, Willie being a romantic is kind of blowing Zack's mind right now. But he's already fucked up twice with Willie's wish, and he really, really doesn't want to fuck up again. That's... Zack begins, but the words get stuck. He clears his throat and tries again. That's a good wish, buddy, he says, and aims his most reassuring smile at Willie. Willie's smile dims a little, and Zack's heart sinks. He's about to apologize, although this time he's really fucking clueless about what he's done wrong, when Willie flops back against his pillows. You wanna watch a movie? He asks. Yeah. Zack nods quickly, more in relief than any real desire to watch anything. Unsure of what he's messed up now, at least Willie's still talking to him, and there's a very deliberate space next to Willie that Zack crawls into. He puts one hand behind his head and lets Willie choose the movie. He spends more time watching Willie than he does the movie, but Willie doesn't seem to notice, his attention firmly on the screen.
When you're fast asleep, in dreams you will lose your heartache. Whatever you wish for, you keep.
Zack figures that Mitch is probably bored of his shit with Willie, while Brownie and the rest of the team are blissfully unaware that Zack is a disaster right now, which only leaves him one option. He picks up his phone and types out a text to Austin before he changes his mind. So, Willie's still mad at me, and I don't know why. Have you spoken to him? Yes. ? Thought you were meant to be the smart one. Mitch says I'm dumb at personal stuff. He's right. Don't tell him I said that, or he'll never shut up. Anyway, Willie? Mitch suggested locking you two in a closet. ? Zack gets a string of emojis from both Austin and Mitch, who must be with Austin, and none of them make any sense. They've got 2 days off, which is a blessing at this point in the season, but it means that Zack can just be an actual adult and go see Willie and get his whole mess straightened out. Again. For the last time. Hopefully. He wastes some time making lunch and calling his mom before he heads for his car and drives a short distance to Willie's place. Willie doesn't look surprised to see him. Matt's warned me that you were probably gonna come over, he says, but at least he lets Zack inside this time. So what's up? Zack doesn't have the energy to beat around the bush anymore. When you told me about your wish, he starts, watching Willie carefully, but Willie just looks back at him blankly. So Zack sighs and sucks it up. I said the wrong thing, after. I'm not sure what I was meant to say, but can we just pretend that I said it instead of what I actually said? Willie considers him from his seat on the huge leather sectional that he insisted on buying when he moved in. Zack, he says, and then he grins. Wide and beautiful enough to make Zack feel a little wary. You're a fucking disaster at this. Why does everyone keep saying that? He pouts a little and ignores Wooly's smothered laugh. I'm an actual adult, unlike half of the team, and I have, like, investments and plans and stuff. My life is in order. Why do I keep fucking this up? He doesn't realize that Wooly's moved closer to him until he stops talking, and Willie's right up in his personal space, like usual. Willie kisses him. Like, Willie's mouth is pressing against his, and Willie's hands are on Zack's shoulders, and he's climbing into Zack's lap, which is pretty nice, actually. So Zack puts his hands on Willie's hips and pulls him a little closer, and he kisses him back. He can feel his heart hammering in his chest. Or maybe it's Willie's. Who knows, since they're pressed so tightly together, that he can't really tell where Willie ends and he begins. He clutches onto Willie's hips a little harder and tugs again. There's literally no way for Willie to get any closer, but Zack suddenly wants him to be. Willie smells nice, like maybe he put cologne on before Zack arrived, and he's heavy in Zack's lap, his muscular thighs clamped around Zack's. Willie's tongue strokes into his mouth, and Zack feels like he's falling apart, suddenly desperate to taste and touch and devour. His hands move over Willie's body, touching everywhere and everything. His hands too heavy, too needy. He wants skin. He wants more. And he grips the hem of Willie's t-shirt and hauls it upwards, one of them whining when they pull apart, breathing heavily while Zack throws Willie's shirt over the back of the sofa and tucks him back in for more. God, he wants so much more. More. Willie pants into his mouth, and Zack wants to laugh, maybe, because he's right there with him. Zack's shirt disappears, and Willie pulls him in so hard that they tumble backwards off the sofa and onto the floor. It's too hard against Zack's back, but he doesn't care, because Willie's kissing him, his hands scratching against Zack's scalp, and he's grinding down into Zack, both of them obviously hard, and he's still so, so desperate. Willie's skin feels warm and soft, even though he's mostly muscle, and Zack still wants more. He's on fire with it, gasping and greedy, swallowing every whimper that Willie makes with his mouth. When Willie's noises get louder and his hips lose their rhythm, Zack knows he's close. He shoves his hand down Willie's pants and groans when he realizes how slick and hot Willie is for him. Shit! Willie's muffled curse floats between them. Zack, shit, yeah, fuck, that's it. Oh god, holy shit, please. Zack doesn't know what Willie needs, but he wants to give it to him so fucking badly. He strokes him and kisses every exposed bit of skin he can find until Willie's shuddering against him and his hand is wet, covered in Willie. Fuck, he murmurs, aching hard and willing himself not to come untouched. His hips push upwards helplessly, and Willie stirs against him. Yeah, he hears Willie say, his voice wrecked and it goes straight to Zack's dick. Yeah, just let me. Willie wriggles down Zack's body and he's pulling Zack's sweats down and oh fuck. He's licking his lips as he eyes Zack tenting in his boxers, the cotton material so damp that Zack's a little embarrassed. Hi, Willie breathes, and Zack can't help it. He half laughs, half groans, and throws his arm over his eyes, because there's no way he can watch his dick in Willie's mouth without coming too early to enjoy the sensation. And it's a good decision, Zack thinks hazily, because Willie's mouth is fucking magic. He holds out as long as he can and tangles his fingers in Willie's sex-messed hair, silently encouraging him as he blows Zack. It's wet, so fucking wet, and it's sloppy, of course. It's fucking amazing. Zack tugs on Willie's hair when he's about to come, and Willie kisses him through it, tasting like Zack, and his hand on Zack's dick, stroking him just right until he's soft again. Willie is a cuddler, which Zack doesn't mind, not when he gets to be the big spoon, one hand flat on Willie's belly, his soft dick nestled against Willie's ass. Not when he can kiss Willie's neck and stroke his hands up and down Willie's body, vaguely wondering if he could go again. Not when Willie makes content little noises as Zack grinds against him, half hard and less desperate this time, but just as greedy. Okay, Willie sighs, one hand on Zack's hip as he moves against Willie, lips on Willie's neck, and wondering whether he could get away with leaving a hickey there. He's feeling weirdly possessive. So, like, your wish is gonna make sure we're set for life financially, and my wish is gonna make sure that we're so fucking happy, so we're, like, solid. And Zack gets it then, his hand still on Willie's hip, his lips still on Willie's neck, his teeth teasing at Willie's skin. Fuck, he gets it, and yeah. Okay, he murmurs, squeezing his hand and grinning when Willie lets out a little yelp. Willie's hickey is obnoxiously large in a deep shade of purple when they show up for morning skate, a little disheveled from making out in Willie's car in the parking lot. Austin notices first, and Zack can't stop laughing at the look on his face.
Have faith in your dreams and someday your rainbow will come smiling through, no matter how your heart is grieving, if you keep on believing the dream that you will.
The end.
You can dream and you can't stop. A dream is a wish you make with your heart. When you can dream and you can't stop. A dream is a wish you make with your heart.
true. You've just finished listening to Asked for a Dream or Two by Karasima. If you enjoyed this story, please leave the author some feedback on AO3. And if you enjoyed my production and performance of the story, please leave me some feedback. You can find me as Momo Pods on AO3. Thank you to Karasima for giving blanket permission to Podfic. The music used for chapter and scene breaks is A Dream Is Your Wish Your Heart Makes as a cover by Vinyl. This story was recorded as a gift for Vidriana in the Europod Friends Podfic Exchange 2019. Vidri, I hope you like this. And now for some reader free talk. The song I almost picked is I Wish by Oli P, which Vidriana, as a fellow German, might have appreciated because it made me feel very nostalgic when I listened to it. But I thought it would have probably been a bit over the top, especially because it has a very 90s boy band sound, even though he was technically a solo artist. Although, to be fair, the Leaves kind of look like they could belong in the 90s boy band, so, you know, might have worked. The song I eventually picked is, of course, a remix of the Disney classic A Dream Is a Wish Your Heart Makes. And I like this song from the start for the story because of the, you know, the lyrics and the title. But it took me a while to find a suitable remix, as the original is a bit too slow for what I was going for with this story. The same goes for the slow jazz number that inspired the title of the story. I forgot what the actual title of the song is, but the title of the fic is a lyric from that song. So yeah, I did my usual shtick of whining and complaining to several people about being unable to find a suitable song for this very specific setup of this story. And many people tried to support me and find songs that would fit. So thank you to everyone who did their best and whose suggestions I rejected in the end. Because I finally remembered that I could look for covers of a song, not just on YouTube, but also on Spotify. For the cover art of this podfic, I wanted something with Willy, because the story is all about how Zach thinks about Willy all the time. And I just love how oblivious Zach is, not just to other people's feelings, but his own as well. Like, he thinks stuff like, Willy should always be happy, and Willy is very lovable, and Willy is so beautiful that this can't be normal, and doesn't even realize how big in love he is with the man himself. It's just, Zach, please gain some, like, if you get the chance, wish for self-awareness, I'm begging you. So yeah, Willy had to be on the cover, but it couldn't be a happy Willy, because Willy spends a good chunk of the fic upset with Zach, and the cover, I felt, needed to reflect that. So, I'm probably not going to record any more parts of this series, mainly because the other pairings don't interest me as much. So, if you want to record the rest of this series, please go right ahead. If you want to record the entire series, including this first part, please also go right ahead. I did include the where it is set in this series in the intro because I wanted to leave myself the option of maybe recording further parts in the future if I'm so inclined. But yeah, as of now, I don't have any plans on recording any further part of this series, just so you all know where I'm at with this. Also, I picked and recorded this story for Vidriana before the news about Austin's behavior came out. And if you're listening to this in 2019, when I recorded this, you will probably know what kind of news I mean. And I don't want to go into it now. Let's just say that much, that it's not quite the proportion of what happened with Patrick Kane, but it's probably up there.
Anyway, I had a good think about whether or not I'd want to keep this story as I'd already recorded it. The thing is, though, unfortunately, that Austin's an integral part of a lot of Leaf's fake, even the ones that aren't about him. And, you know, I wanted to record Leaf's fic for Vidriana because Vidriana cares about the Leafs and especially Willy, and especially Willy with Zach. So, you know, I really wanted to give them this, especially because this is in Vidriana's bookmarks, you know. So I'm pretty sure this is a story they like. The other thing is that I personally regard Austin in fiction, like fictional Austin, as someone separate from real life Austin. And if that's not the case for you, dear hypothetical listener, you know, I fully respect and understand that. However, real life Austin's actions have taken away enough enjoyment of hockey from many people, although, you know, arguably not enough people, because it really hasn't affected his career that much. But I refuse to let it impact my enjoyment of fictional characters that are vaguely based on, you know, these real life hockey players. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. And by the time you will listen to this, I will have put the warning in the notes of this post that he's in this story so that those who wish to avoid him altogether could do it. I will even have tagged him as a character, even though I wouldn't normally tag for him as a character because his role isn't big enough, in my opinion. But yeah, I will do it so that anyone who wants to filter him out and wants to avoid him as much as possible can do so, and I will have help with that in a way I can. Bringing it back to a more cheerful note, because I don't want to end on this, I want to end on something happy. As I said, this was recorded as a gift for Vidriana in the Europod Friends Podfic Exchange 2019, which is an exchange that I created and modded, and I am hoping that it will have been a great thing for everyone, that everyone will have had fun with it, and that we will go, that we are going to be, you know, screaming at each other in joy in November when we all meet up in Berlin again, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. I'm super looking forward to this weekend. It was the highlight of 2018 for me, and I have the hope that it will also be my highlight of 2019. No pressure on the mods, honestly, I swear. It's absolutely no pressure, no super high expectations. I have high expectations, but I'm not putting them on you. I'm putting them on myself. So, yeah, it's been so amazing last year, and I've been waiting for the next one all year. So I'm super stoked. It's finally happening, and I hope everyone will enjoy the podfics that will come out of this exchange, and I hope we will all have a great time talking about them and talking about podfics in general and recording more podfics, and it's just gonna be totally awesome, basically. So, yeah, thank you for your attention. Thank you for listening through all the way to the end. As per usual, I will look forward to your comments to talk to me about the story, about my production of the story, about how I read these characters. I'm not really looking for a conversation about real life Austin, so please leave those comments to spaces where people actually want to talk about it. That's not something I want to talk about. But if you have anything else you want to talk to me about with regards to this podfic or any of my podfics, you know how to find me. And with that, I am signing off. Talk to you soon. Bye.